Finding this podcast magical? Why not toss a coin to your Witches and a Druid podcast through the Acast supporter feature? It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to show your support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Three Witches and a Druid Podcast, a Canadian podcast about paganism in today's modern society. And now, Three Witches and the Druid Podcast present Shenka.
It's always been this way. Time never changes. Souls trapped inside themselves, reaching, never touching. Two flowers in the sand, longing for each other. Looking for a bridge to cross, reaching, never touching. Wrapped up in glass. I tried to reach you once, you tried to reach me. Can't ignite the fire, giving, never taking. And when you give your all, there's nothing left inside. We stand two empty souls, giving, never taking. Wrapped up in glass. Passion dies a lonely death for those who try too hard. Endless fantasies are woven on the silken web of dreams. Time cannot erase the timeless pain of failure. The cold inside grows colder now. Wrapped up in glass. It's an endless picture show where the hero always wins. It's so easy to pretend, speaking, never feeling. Frost is on the mirror now, barring your reflection. I sit inside my crystal shell, speaking, never feeling. Wrapped up in glass. Passion dies a lonely death for those who try too hard. Endless fantasies are woven on the silken web of dreams. Time cannot erase the timeless pain of failure. The cold inside grows colder now. Wrapped up, wrapped up, wrapped up, wrapped up in glass.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Three Witches and a Druid. We are on episode 3 of the ADF 9 Druid Virtues and how they correlate in our lives as modern pagans. I'm Margot.
And I'm Maeve.
Gwen.
And I'm Brian. So before the episode, we were mostly talking about coffee shops, and Margot sort of got on a story about coffee shops and gifting them flowers, and I made her stop because our first virtue today is my personal favorite, hospitality. Hospitality is acting as both a gracious host and an appreciative guest, involving benevolence, friendliness, humor, and the honoring of a gift for a gift. Or as Merriam-Webster defines it, hospitable treatment, reception, and disposition. The activity or business of providing services to guests in hotels, restaurants, bars, etc. Obviously has more than hotels.
Is that why you put the jelly beans out? Because I was coming.
Well, yes. Yes, and my little jelly beans and the Ritz and the wine. So for Karen and I, as followers of Garrus, hospitality is our biggest thing. So when people come to our home, we don't want them to feel like they're guests. They are part of our home. It is a very maritime tradition. The first time you ask for a glass of water, I will get up and get you a glass of water. Next time you ask for a glass of water, you know where the glasses are, you know where the water is.
I have the, once you're here the third time, that's it, get your own glass of water. Yeah. First two times I will. You have one, we have two. I do two. You've been in my house three times, now you can go find that for yourself.
Yeah, but you're a part of my home is the point. So Margot was talking about visiting Starbucks.
I admit I love Starbucks.
They have some delicious
things. And they get me through my work day. I work hard.
Are you like a pink unicorn fluffy Starbucks person? No. Or do you have like, this is what I get?
This is what I get. This is the same thing every time.
I tried that like unicorn witch's hairdo thing.
It's for little kids. It's little kids, yeah.
No, I have my drink and I do not mess around. It's a Trente. It's a 30-ounce cold coffee. And for a long time where I was working, I stopped at a specific Starbucks location. And so they knew my drink. They knew me. I always pre-ordered on the app. It was quicker to park my car and go in and pick it up than it was to pick it up through the drive-thru. So they had a face to attach to the order. I also frequently, since I work in a flower shop, if we had flowers that were still perfectly fine, just past the point where I couldn't sell them to a customer, I would drop them off at the coffee shop. For someone should enjoy them. Why don't they enjoy them? So I took some time off. I had my knee replacement. I am now working in a different location. So I go to a different location to pick up my coffee. And when I stopped last week and dropped off some flowers for them, apparently they posted it to their internal Starbucks thing. Social media.
Yeah.
A couple days later, I did happen to stop into the old location and the manager said, "We saw they posted your tulips. That's not fair." I answered that Margo's ours. You need to send her back. She's our favorite. So, I mean, they are showing hospitality by providing me with the fuel I need to get me through the day.
Yeah.
And I am showing them my appreciation of their hospitality by gifting them with flowers from time to time.
Right.
I've even written on the card, "You helped me survive Christmas" in a flower shop. So it's
almost as crazy as Mother's Day weekend.
Not quite. Mother's Day is it.
It's the big one.
Is the biggest
one. So it is like a card carrying member of the Basic Bitch Club. who is a pumpkin spice latte addict. I get it. Like, but what's happened is that you've created a bond with these employees that is a gift for a gift.
It is. It truly is. I feel I want them to understand that what they provide me with is an important and integral part of me getting through my day. Not getting through my day, enjoying my day.
Yeah. So you've surpassed the standard gift of here is money, give me my magic non-murder juice.
Yes.
And you've created something more. That is the dictionary definition of hospitality.
I think a gift for a gift seems transactional to me, but when it is
I was gonna say
the way it seemed really transactional, but what Margot explains is a creation of relationship and honoring each other. It's a way of showing that you honored the relationship you've developed.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I know a lot of people are like, oh, Starbucks charge way too much for coffee. I'm not going to tip. Starbucks staff work as hard as anybody else.
Yes, yeah. They do.
It's my choice whether I'm going to pay this much for a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy this coffee far more than from anybody anywhere else. I am willing to pay this money. And again, it is my non-murder juice.
Yeah.
For sure.
When's the last time you've gone into a Starbucks and there's only one barista? There's always six behind that counter.
They're running and working hard.
The entire time.
When I had that brief period of unemployment, did apply to Starbucks because I thought, I'm here often enough. And
I know the menu.
But again, it's not a sit on your tuchus and scroll through Facebook on your phone kind of job. Those folks are working hard.
Yes, they do. Anyone in food service and retail,
on their feet
work.
Which is what I do. Like, I'm in flowers.
Yeah.
I don't get to sit down.
You're in retail.
I'm running constantly.
Yeah.
But again, I love it. I would rather do that than sit for extended periods of time.
Now, not being a coffee person, they used to have this thing that was rose flavored.
Mm.
They had this rose stuff they would put in this. I could get it, and I'm not a caffeine person. Now, when Chapters still had a Starbucks, if you went to Chapters, of course, I would get, they called it a steamer with milk.
Yep.
With some gingerbread or during the right season, pumpkin spice. And
when you serve it to a child, you call it a steamy.
Yeah, that was my special treat if I went into, to Chapters. But I won't lie, I seldom go. I seldom go to any coffee shop. I go to a little coffee shop cafe to meet a friend, but it's not a destination for me. It's a special, meeting a friend
for a visit. It's a daily thing. I need this. This is what makes me happy at work.
That's a lot of coffee.
It
30
is,
ounces?
But
a liter.
But there's most of that is ice.
Oh, okay.
So
okay, yes, it's cold. Okay.
Yes, it's a cold coffee.
I'm gonna say that's a liter of coffee. Good grief.
And I was actually off caffeine for a long time because it was just not agreeing with my stomach. But again, I think this is mostly ice, a lot of milk, some mocha flavor that it doesn't upset my stomach quite as much as if I had a cup of coffee. I enjoy the relationship. I enjoy the give and take. And the same with my job. People are often coming in for flowers, whether it's I'm going to a dinner party and I want to take a hostess gift, or a friend of mine has had a new baby, I want to send celebratory flowers, or someone has passed and I want to send along my sympathy. These are all very important rites of passage that need honoring. And I am honored to be a part of that.
Right.
As well.
And this, of course, applies to if you're holding a ritual and you may be open to the public and you may not know who's coming to your event, and you have to be open for a wide variety of individuals who may be going through a very wide variety of things. One thing our Grove has created is a very tiny training course. I think it's called Inclusive Hosting. And the idea is that you may have individuals who are going through various struggles, and various signs that you can see, like things you might be able to see and interpret and be able to adjust your hosting abilities based on what you're seeing. So if you have somebody who's come, they don't want to take off their jacket, it's okay. That jacket may be a moment of comfort for them. So you don't push it. You just let them keep your jacket. And eventually when it becomes comfortable, maybe it'll take your jacket off and hang it up like everybody else. But little things like that. And for us, that's part of our hospitality.
And I know working both at Little Mysteries and at Hill Tribe, we would occasionally have customers that were neurodivergent, different than me, if I can consider myself the norm, which I really do not, but could be exasperating, patience draining, and difficult.
Yeah.
And when I've reached the point in my own mind that the measure of myself as a decent human being on this planet is how I treat people who are different than me.
Right. And so that kind of ties back to wisdom, to be able to walk into that situation and say, I need to approach this situation differently.
With patience, with calmness, with kindness,
yeah.
And allow them to have the experience in this retail social situation that's beneficial for them as well. And that's enjoyable for them. And that has transferred over into customers who may be entitled and impatient and cranky. How can I improve this customer interaction for you so that you leave here pleased and pleasant with your experience?
Yeah.
If you come in combative and angry and aggressive, how can I diffuse that? How can I bring you to a point where, because this is flowers, for crying out loud.
I know. How can you not be happy?
You know, so let's make this the most pleasant experience for you as we can. And what can I do to facilitate that? What ego do I need to let go of in order to make your experience as pleasant as possible?
Right. That makes sense.
I find hospitality. I like being hospitable to people.
Well,
like,
that's, you know, good.
In my home.
Yeah, and all good, that. It's good, you don't approach your door and you just froze
Well, the thing is a lot of people don't enjoy being hospitable to others. They don't want people in their space. They don't want people to come to their home. They want them to come in and get out as fast as possible. They don't enjoy hospitality.
Yep.
You know, so people who, you know, for whatever reason, they don't like having people around and they're inhospitable. You know, that's, you know, it's a word for a reason.
But I open your home.
Well, yes. I've lived with over 40 people from just damn near everywhere, right? Yep. So I'm a very hospitable person, as long as you're following my rules. If you're not following the rules of my living in my house and you're leaving.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. And, you know, I guess being very extroverted, being hospitable is very easy for me. And I wonder, I mean, in every walk of life, there's people who are very introverted and very shy and very this and don't want people in their space. That would be something they would, you know, in the ADF, they'd have to work very hard at.
Well, hospitality also works with, like, your relationship with the deity as well.
Yes. Yeah.
So, like, and we're back to honoring of gift for a gift. So understanding that if you want deity or the shining ones to bestow upon you a gift, that you have to in some way pay that back.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's free.
And sometimes just your honoring of that is the payback.
And so as Gwen had mentioned earlier, that part is a little bit more transactional, but then you're dealing with deity and it is what it is.
Yeah.
You get to be careful there.
Right.
A little bit.
Like Gwen, you had often hosted various members from the community over the holidays who may not have had a place.
Oh, yeah. That was for years. We called it Mary Mithras Day. We just had an open house on the 25th, which is a statutory holiday here in Canada. And a lot of people, and we're in a city where a lot of people are from someplace else. It's a coastal city. It has three universities, and a lot of people have started new lives here. So they're separated from families, or perhaps if they're pagan, perhaps they're not with their partner or something anymore, and they have shared family arrangements. The kids are with the Christian family, and they're at loose ends on the 25th. And so, the house was open, and it was really wonderful. It was really wonderful. We did that for decades. Yeah.
And I always looked forward to that.
Yeah.
It was always just so welcoming and warm. That was actually something that I really had trouble explaining to my mother because where she lived in PEI and where, especially when I was single and had no partner, well, you should come home for Christmas, you know, come to PEI for Christmas, which was very stressful for me. And trying to explain to her that just because I'm a single person doesn't mean I don't have my own Christmas traditions,
right,
and rituals and things that I want to do during that time period.
Yeah.
And you can't expect me to just drop everything and come to PEI just because you think I have nothing. Because that's not the truth. I don't have nothing. I have something very important to participate and honor and be part of as well. So
yeah,
that open house, that potluck, that get together, never knowing exactly who may show up and who may be there, who you might see.
Yeah.
Was always a really close to my heart part of that traditionally Christmas time of year.
Yeah, it was great. And we did retire when Dave got sick. And I don't know, you know, things shift and change, but it was a wonderful time in my life. I really enjoyed that.
But now that we're talking about this, you in a hospital sense, being that you work in a location with a lot of young families, you often now work that holiday.
I do.
Allowing other people to spend time with their family.
Yeah,
I choose that act of hospitality.
Oh, wow. That's
cool. I agree. I 100% agree and always have. I've always thought that.
Like you're giving something up to make someone else more comfortable.
Right.
Right. So we'll move on to moderation. Cultivating one's appetite so that one is neither a slave to them nor driven to ill health, mental or physical, through excess or deficiency, or as Merriam-Webster defines it, moderation is avoiding extremes of behavior or expression, observing reasonable limits, calm, temperate. So this is a tough one.
It is. It's It's not something that I can claim I have any kind of grasp on whatsoever.
Right.
I live by myself.
Yeah.
If I want to eat birthday cake for supper, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And there's something wrong with that.
You got to be, that really interrupts, let's all get drunk and go naked.
It doesn't have to, though.
That's true. I mean, you know, if you're doing getting drunk and going naked, you know, 5 nights out of 7, maybe that, okay, there we need some moderation. But if you're doing it, you know, 2 or 3 times a year, that's okay.
I'm like the total odd man out because it's the one I think, I got this. This is finally one I have. And I'm not sure. Like, they probably arrived at these virtues looking at stories and history and culture and stuff. There's those Irish wisdom texts where I think it's a king to his son and he says, don't be boastful, but don't be too meek. Don't be this, but don't be too that. And there's a reason. Like, if you're boastful, you get caught up in your whatever. But if you're too meek, people underestimate you. And then I think, although my father didn't label him as such, we were raised very stoic. And that is a stoic virtue as well. In the sense, there's a lot of overlap, I find, in the stoic virtues and the ADF virtues.
Yeah.
And that moderation of you don't set yourself up by going to extremes, you look for the most efficient or effective or whatever. And I've never really had that extreme emotion, you know, swinging sort of thing. It's the more the slow burn, I guess.
Right. Now, moderation also is not just the ability to control oneself in the form of excess, but also, and we discussed earlier in the series, patience.
Mm.
Being able to be patient with any situation, be it community outreach, be it patience for others. Moderation
can be tested in when you're working with community.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. You have to understand, like, a lot of these virtues are two-edged swords. They mean more than what they first appear. The last one being the prime example of this. But moderation is not only the ability to control oneself when it comes to the physical, but also the mental.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Which again, when you live by yourself, as I'm sure you know as well, and you know.
Yes.
It's the mental moderation when you live by yourself. Very difficult to control.
Oh, yes.
Very.
And it's becoming more difficult as our society progresses. There is nothing stopping me right now from picking up my phone and ordering a new coffee machine with a press of two buttons. Nothing it's stopping true. Me from doing that.
I know.
Except crazy. Moderation.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
understanding that I can't necessarily afford that brand new coffee machine. On that note, I found a coffee grind. So get off topic. But I found this coffee grinder. I was like kind of oohing and aahing on Instagram. It was $5,000. So the moderation in me was like, you're not buying a $5 coffee.
How is it work any different than the $50 one?
I don't know.
And here's me. I had the wooden one with the drawer you poured the coffee in and you ground it around. And that was my coffee grinder.
I assume this launched you to Mars when the time came.
Or maybe it's some sort of very special, was on the spaceship once. So it's got, you know, it was on the space shuttle or something. So it's got this great nostalgic whatever.
Like, pedigree.
Yeah.
But the idea that, like, in our society, there's nothing stopping me from just going to download the latest album or the newest movie I want to see. And, like, it's so much easier now than it was before. So your moderation, your patience is tested.
That's
so
a bad deal.
Yeah. That is true.
Very lacking. And so
it's
much
funny. Today. I have sort of a funny story about that as well. You know, 20 years ago or whatever, when I first went on Plenty of Fish.
Mm.
And it was like people approached it like online shopping. Like, oh, that's the one I want. Buy now. No, I'm sorry. It does not work that way.
No.
Just because you decide that this is the one you want doesn't mean it's going to work out.
Yeah.
And I just found that quite a fascinating that society looked at things online, whether it was online shopping, online dating.
Yeah.
It very much the one click buy now.
Well, and it's not even that. It's like health, fitness. Like you look at Instagram, it's like, why don't I have 28 abs like that guy? I want that now and immediately. But understanding that's not how any of that works.
Again, if anybody had found the secret to being healthy and slim and happy, they would have published it by now and made it $1 billion and we would all be healthy and slim and happy.
Yeah, Elon Musk would have nothing on them.
Nobody has found that secret yet.
No.
So
anybody, not in pill form. There may be that secret out there, but it involves work. It involves effort.
So yeah, moderation is, it's, I wouldn't say it's not one I associate with as much. As someone who's worked closely with the community, I definitely understand the patience aspect. So unlike other, when we record at Gwen's, her cat sits and is quiet. My cat is destroying everything and found marble.
He's so cute.
So that's what you're hearing in the background. Yeah, that's moderation.
You know what I'm finding through all of these? Basis. That the one virtue that goes with every single thing we've talked about comes back to wisdom.
Oh, yes, of course.
Wisdom is the biggest one, I think, here, because every single one of these has to be
based on wisdom.
Yeah.
Wisdom, I think, is
well, like we've discussed a few times, they all interconnect in different ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to be brave to not push that button on the Amazon Prime website and order that coffee maker. You have to be strong to not do that.
Well, you have to use your wisdom to say to yourself, this is unnecessary.
Correct. Yes.
It's very interesting. They intertwine a lot.
Yeah.
But wisdom seems to be the basis of almost everything.
I was thinking something an earlier episode and I thought, no, I'll bring it up. And I forgot. I missed my window.
No, but you never miss your window.
While you have a screen up and Merriam-Webster up.
So there's two sources I'm going from. On our Grove website is the list of the virtues. And then there's my DP
your
explanation,
Dedican.
My Dedican program explanation of each. And I'll link both of those in all the show notes.
Yeah, that's great. I was thinking we maybe should have, we've got all these definitions. What's the definition of a virtue? We're all assuming, we're all talking about the same thing, that we see a virtue as, what is a virtue?
Behavior showing high moral standards.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Very good.
And that's from Merriam-Webster.
So Merriam-Webster is opposed to Oxford English.
Yes.
So the last virtue, and this is the one that often a lot of people get a little chuckle about, and is often the most misinterpreted one, is fertility. Bounty of mind, body, and spirit involving creativity, production of objects, food, works of art, etc. By appreciation of the physical, sensual, and nurturing. Merriam-Webster defines fertility as the quality or state of being fertile. While the definition of fertility is listed is and characterized as a great resourcefulness through imagination or fertility. So obviously the immature child in me is like, women giving birth to children.
That used to come up at the shop all the time. Yeah. All the time. And to explain to people, fertility is fertility of thought, fertility of abundance. Fertility of security.
Yes.
It's many, many different ways that fertility comes into your life, or you can promote fertility within your life.
Or the fertility of the earth, you know, the animals.
There is a physical and there is a spiritual. There is, of course, a sexual. This is mostly referring to your mind, your ability to sustain yourself in a sense that you can keep yourself going forward, be it creatively, with imagination, thoughts, ideas,
or concepts, pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. So fertility is one that often people struggle with because it's not the source, but it is often the most affected by depression. Seasonal depression, world events happening around us, people you keep around yourself. This is the one that people, they may not realize it, but is the one that is they're most affected by without realizing it.
Yet we, the witches part of this group, are surrounded by people a spectacular ability to manifest what they need in their life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have seen it over and over again. And that is a direct demonstration of fertility, I feel. Mm-hmm. The people who have, you know, sat in a coffee shop and done a little group spell with milk and pennies to get their dream home. And 2 weeks later,
They did.
They placed the offer.
Yeah.
And so many examples of powerful people within our group who have either vocalized or internalized something they need in their life and are able to produce it has been astounding.
It's been astonishing. It is. Yeah. It's crazy. It's Majnoon, as I told them.
Yes.
As I told that, because your little guy earlier, Majnoon. Majnoon is the Arabic word for crazy. It's a little bit of Arabic, I know. Majnoon. Crazy.
So for our grove is very heavily centered on crafting. Everybody in our grove is some sort of maker. So fertility for us is quite important. Okay. The ability to make and then find the drive to make more and to be inspired by the things around us to create differently and to make better, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for us, I'd say we've created a very good support network in the sense that we often share with each other what we make and how we've made it. And we talk a lot in our group about what we're crafting, what we're making. And that, for us, is a well of fertility in our sense.
We've talked about doing Skillshare amongst ourselves as well. People who knit, sharing with people who don't know, who want to learn how to knit, people who can cook a certain fantastic meal.
Or they have knowledge, you know, this and that. Because, you know, I've been waiting for Rhonda to be doing the, I really need the energy wavelengths explained to me. I mean, I get it, but it's like, how can they be talking about, you know, 527 when the sound width of something else is 9? Like, how does this happen? Anyway, sorry. That's a little side thing I find very, very interesting. And which ones are too stimulating? Which ones are not stimulating enough? You know, doing a little research on my own, but then you hear, you read contradictory things. It's like, well, how do I know which one's which? Anyway.
Phone a friend.
The good news
and
is.
And just know that if you read it on the internet, doesn't mean it's true.
No, it's true. And you know what? That is another thing I find wonderful with our community is, you know, when I was doing the Wicca 101 classes, or the witchcraft 101 classes, which went really well. If I can't answer it, I know someone who can.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. I can find just someone, which is really nice. So there we are. That's fertility. People knowing and finding out more and more knowledge. And, you know, and now that we're at that stage of life where I am producing no more children, you know, us ladies here, we're not producing more children. We have to think about other types of fertility, you know, the mind, the, you know,
going from being the Aphrodite ingenue role that I played for so long and then catching a glimpse of myself in the mirror at physiotherapy thinking, I'm a grandma garden gnome. that's who I am now.
Well, you know, I see myself in the mirror and I do not see what I really look like. I then see what myself in a picture and go, is that me? Because I'm still in the mirror. Now, since I've shaved my hair off, that startles me. It's like, is that me? I noticed that in the mirror now.
So how you can use the virtues and understanding that you are now a grandma garden gnome, but coming from an Aphrodite perspective, is that you can use your wisdom to understand that there's always a kink for everything on the internet. And then you can use the piety to act upon that. And then use your vision to be like, do I really want to do this? What am I going to do? And then use courage to, like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And then use integrity and do it well. And then use perseverance and keep through doing it, even though you're dealing with the most fucked up weird perverts on the internet. And then use hospitality to welcome them into your home via webcam. And then moderation to realize, you know what? This isn't for me.
And that analogy brought to you by...
Oh, that's a hoot and a half.
And then the fertility aspect is you're like, you know what? I'm going to teach other people to do this instead of me doing it myself. And that's how I will actually make money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
And I think that's a good spot to end.
It is.
That's a dedicated program. Well done there, yeah, Brian. Well,
now we're getting to a very exciting part of our podcast here. We want your ghost stories. So I'm going to pass this over here to Gwen, who's had this magnificent idea.
Yeah, I think we're getting, looking ahead to spooky season, which I know is months away, but we've shared some stories. We've met and had talked to ghost hunters and that sort of thing, but we've heard from feedback from people. There's lots of stories out there. And wherever you are, do you have a family ghost? Did you see some spirits on the road on the way home one night? Listener with the shoe in the wall, I'm looking at you. Maybe send us your story. You can send a little audio file. Brian's going to set that up for us.
Yep.
So Brian will have a link, or if you're not comfortable reading it,
you can just write.
Oh yeah, write it out, and we can.
We'll read it for you. Yeah, there's lots of stories out there, and then we'll just get them all together and share stories when we get close to spooky season in our Samhain episode.
So yes, we're looking forward to having many of you from all over on our show and sharing your stories, because we love ghost stories here. I think everyone does.
Everyone loves
the spooky stories, because we have from Blue Nose Ghosts by Helen Creighton, like straight on through to just so many spooky stories. And everybody probably has a slightly spooky story of some sort. Even if they don't believe in ghosts or this or that, everyone's got a story.
Yeah.
And we want to hear it. All over the world.
We want it. And that's very interesting. It might be another way to share different cultural ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, a ghost may have different names or different types, or, you know, depending on the... You know, the ones you want, what are they called in your country? The ones you don't want, what are they called in your country? You know, that kind of idea. So we really want to get this going. So send in your thoughts, ideas, and experiences. So thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. And we're very, very happy to be talking here together and with all of you. And thank you, Krista, our editor. That's marvelous. She's marvelous to us. And if you have any questions, comments, suggestions for shows, you can get a hold of us on our Three Witches and a Druid Facebook page. And thank you very much to our Patreons. We're very, very, very grateful to you.
Hello, beloved listeners and patrons of Three Witches and a Druid podcast. We would like to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude for your unwavering support of our podcast. With your encouragement, we have been able to explore and celebrate the rich and diverse world of paganism and spirituality. We feel blessed to have had the opportunity to share our knowledge and experiences with you. As we continue to grow and evolve, we invite you to join us on this journey and become a Patreon member of our podcast. Your contribution will help us to continue creating quality content and provide you with more exciting episodes filled with wisdom, insights, and a little enchantment. By becoming a Patreon member, you will not only support our mission, but you will also have access to exclusive content, behind-the-scenes goodies, discounts, and much, much more. Together, we can create a thriving and supportive community. to our amazing Patreons who have been there to support us through the past 3 seasons. Sybil, Josie, Catherine, Nicole, Amy Beth, Tomlin, Samantha, Stephanie, Chris, Ramos, Eric, Karen, Highland Horde, Danny, Tania, Sarah, Kay, Linda, and Jennifer. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being a part of our 3 Witches and a Druid family. Let us continue to inspire and uplift each other, and may our collective energy bring light and love to the world.
And until next time, everybody, merry meet.
Merry part.
And merry meet again.
Blessed be.
This has been 3 Witches and a Druid podcast. Thanks for listening.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.